Livy Purvis, Yachting Monthly for December 2012 podcast. So there we were in our cabin, all of us on Blue Watch, deep asleep at 3:40 in the morning before a 4 a.m. watch. The door clipped open, the light dazzled us, and a sepulchral voice from beneath a wild thatch of grey hair intoned, "The storm is beginning." It was a scene from Young Frankenstein. I half expected Marty Feldman to appear from the wardrobe with a terrible cackle and a flash of lightning. So up we got, Blue Watch, pulling on boots and over trousers and oilies and hats, and we came on deck to find that indeed a middling rain squall was in progress, and everybody busy brailing up the royals and upper topsails. Nothing unusual except for the unwonted drama of the waking. It was not a storm within the meaning of the act. We all had a giggle about it and reread the section of the Dutch tall ship Europa's cheerful instruction book for trainees on the subject of how to wake your fellow crew in the dead small hours. With typical mildness, the ship's advice is to say something cheerful like "full moon," or "we're under full sail now," or "bit of rain, best to wear your waterproofs, but wrenches put out some great flapjacks." And most of the time, when it wasn't "the storm is beginning, lady," everybody got rather good at that, and we sailed on down channel and across Biscay merry as anything all fortnight. Well, 4 hours on, 8 hours off is not very taxing. It made me think, though, about the more frequent wake-ups we all have to execute on one another in smaller yachts, hauling each weary sleeper out of the deepest trench of unconsciousness to face a damp, heaving cockpit. The oddest rousings I ever had were in the Atlantic years ago, when the self-steering broke and we had to steer downwind by hand full-time for 3 weeks. Leaving the wheel was not an option. So, whichever of us was on, the next watchkeeper would be in a bunk far up forward, and the original system was to throw shoes, cushions, or, in extremis, a winch handle, along the length of the saloon. After a while we got so sleepy that failed to work, so we'd go to our bunk with a piece of thin cord round the right wrist for the helmsman to jerk when it was wake-up time. Few experiences are odder than to see your hand jumping up and down on your chest of its own volition in a dark and howling night at sea. On our boat, touch wood, the wind vane usually works fine, so doing a three-on-three-off routine, we can go below and whisper sweet nothings to the sleeper. Some chance, safer with a cup of tea and a ginger biscuit, preferably combined with some rather bitter news than usual about what course we're making. Being familiar with one another's snoring patterns, we can make a fine judgment about leaving it another 20 minutes till the sleep is shallower, and then recouping the time on the next watch. It's not very Royal Navy, but it works. But there are times when only a rather firm, sudden alert will do, and that is the dreadful bit. Because dreams at sea, does everybody find this, are more vivid. They're wilder, more detailed and deeper than in ordinary life. These dreams have complex plots, sometimes drawn from whatever you're reading. I dreamed a whole new chapter to the new Ian McEwan. It was brilliant, much more action-packed than the real end. And of course, sometimes the dreams are tied up with anxieties about the passage. Before we first crossed the Menai Strait from an uneasy, windy, rolling anchorage the night before, I dreamed very vividly that I'd put the boat and the family into my handbag and walked across by a pleasant bridge instead. Being woken from that, even on a reasonably quiet morning, was a letdown. Had it been a 3 a.m. call, far worse. Explorers, hunters and soldiers in the kind of adventure books I used to love swore that you could wake a man swiftly and in complete silence by pressing on a spot just below his ear. It seems he would come to life completely without any grunting, cussing or other sounds likely to rouse a nearby tiger or stampede the local kudu or militia. I tried that once, just once, with a previous sailing boyfriend for an experiment, and I do not recommend it. He leapt from the bunk shouting, "Whoa, whoa, we're sinking! This ship is now fighting for her life!" and something about cannons, possibly drawn from his bedtime hornblower. So on the whole, best to stick to cheerful remarks, in a Dutch accent, about flapjacks.